begin tonight of the book of Hebrews. I don't know what all we're going to be doing in this book, but now a whole lot of what I've got to say tonight in the introduction is just simply some reading and some notes, and I hope you'll bear with me as I try to read down through these notes and give you some thoughts and try to log them in your mind, all right? Try to get some general, if you can get in the books of the Bible, church, if you can get an overall view of that book and what God, who is dealing with and what He's trying to accomplish in that book, it'll help you to comprehend it in your study a whole lot better. And I'm assuming that you are trying to read and study the Bible. I hope you are. And at least trying to read it and meditate in it some and get something that's lasting in your soul, all right? Get an understanding of the work of God. I'll tell you, if you can get an understanding of God's redemptive plan and how He's bringing that to pass and how He's working in these books in the Bible to reveal to you His plan and His Son and His judgment and His mercy and His goodness and so forth, it'll help you tremendously in your studies in the Word of God. It'll help you in your life. It'll help you to overcome a lot of difficulties and have a little bit of victory in your life. Amen? I mean, somebody said, well, you don't have to understand all of it to believe it, but I'm going to tell you, if you're going to get on a good solid rock, you're going to have to understand a little bit of it. You're going to have some understanding in the Bible. All right, Hebrews chapter number 1, and let's stand together tonight for the reading of the Word of God. And let's begin reading again in verse number 1 of the chapter, okay? God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee, and again I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels He saith, Who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall fail not. But to which of the angels said He at any time, Sit on My right hand until I make Thine enemies Thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now may the Lord add the blessing to the reading of His Word. That's reading the entire chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews. Let's bow our heads and hearts together and ask the Lord to help us just a little bit in the service tonight. Now, Father, again tonight, Lord, as we bow in Your presence and thank You for the good gift of salvation, thank You for grace, thank You for Your love, Your mercy, thank You for the tenderness of God. Thank You, Lord, even for judgment and wrath. It's all of God, and I thank You for it all. Thank You for the blessings of life and the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Thank You, our Father, for Your people that's here tonight and the privilege that's ours to assemble here. And I do ask You to take Thy Word tonight
And Lord, penetrate our hearts with the Word of God by the power of the Holy Ghost. And may thy seed fall upon good ground to bring forth fruit unto thee. Help me tonight as I do my best, Lord, to labor in the Scripture. Help me, Lord, to bring this out in light, that, Lord, enough light that your people can get a hold of it and be blessed by it and be strengthened from it. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll move in every heart. If there's somebody here that's lost and without God, may they be saved. Revive your people and your work in the midst of the years. Have your divine will in every heart. Get glory to yourself. Give liberty and power to the preacher tonight. Help me to say something that will bring glory to God, and I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. Well, if you remember, I believe a week ago on Sunday morning, I more or less introduced the book of Hebrews to you out of chapter number 1 and brought a message there on Jesus outshines them all. And I dealt with verses 1, 2, and 3, how that Paul here had shown that Jesus was much better than the prophets. Now, we're going to continue that thought tonight on Jesus outshines them all. Somebody said, why, Brother Hall? Because he does. He does outshine them all. And tonight, we're in verses 4 on down through verse number 14. We're going to look at how Jesus outshines the angels. He is outshining the angels. And so, we want to look tonight at God's preeminence over angels. Now, I doubt that this will get too exciting, but it is Bible, and I think that we need to learn the Bible, all of it, line upon line, precept upon precept, and study it the best we can. Now, it'll help you to know that in Scripture, in the Bible, we find there two different views of the Lord Jesus Christ always pictured. And we see Him, first of all, in His essential being, Jesus, most essential being, and by that is simply meant what He always was and must forever remain as God the Son. Now, I want to say to you that He is not, church, half God and half man. He was 100% God and He was 100% man. And the Bible in many places will picture our Lord as that. Many times in the context of Scripture, it will even mingle the two together. That is somewhat what we find here tonight. We find Him here pictured as God the man, the God-man, and we also see Him as God the Son and in His essential being. Now, the second of these is in His official character, or is Jesus the mediator, God incarnate, or God-man. Now, let me just break that down. We're looking at Jesus in two views. We're looking at Him and His essential glory, which is God incarnate, the very Son of God, very God. And then we're looking at Him in His official character, which is the mediator, Jesus the mediator. Somebody said, what does that all detail? I don't have time to preach all about His mediatorial work tonight. But certainly we find Him mediating on the cross and on the right hand of God. And there are several different aspects of that. But these texts will show us a view of Him as God and Him as man. Now, just hang with me and we're going to find out what it's about tonight. The text before us will exalt Him as our mediator. When the Bible said that Jesus is better than the angels, we're looking at Him as the God-man. We're looking at Him in His humanity and how that God has made Him better than the angels in His humanity. And the purpose of this is to show us that the One who appeared on earth in a servant form was possessed of a dignity and a majesty that should bow our hearts in worship before Him. He who by Himself purged our sins is the same that made the world. I tell you, that is a humbling thought in Brother Hall's heart when I read in the Scripture and realize that the very God of gods, that He that My friend always has been and always shall be. He that had no beginning and shall never have an end is the very same one that left all the glory of heaven and condescended to this earth, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was robed in flesh, died upon the cross, took our sins upon him, purged us of our sins, and went back and sat down on a throne in glory at the very right hand of God Almighty. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't understand that. I don't know. I don't understand it either. But I sure do enjoy it, knowing that God loved me. I'm talking about somebody as big as God could love a little old country boy with patches on his britches and wickedness in his heart, and yet God loved me enough to leave the realm of glory in heaven and come to this earth and deliver my old poor soul from the very fetters of sin. That is a humbling thing that ought to cause all of us to bow it in order and to worship God in spirit and in truth. That's right. When you ever get a hold of the fact that God died for you, God made you and give you life, and then God died in your place. I'll tell you, that'll humble you. It does me. The crucified was the Creator. He that hanged on the cross as the crucified one is the same that thundered on Mount Sinai. He that was crucified is the same one in Genesis 1:1 when he stepped out of nowhere and spoke everything there was into existence, is the same one that humbled himself on Calvary and became our substitute and paid our sin debt that we might go free from the curse of sin that Adam brought upon the entire human race. Now, that's a humbling thing. See, mankind don't believe that. The false Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. See, the Jehovah's Witness will tell you that Satan and Jesus are brothers. And they're both created angels. He is not created. He is not created. He's the Creator. Amen. And he's not the devil's brother by no stretch of the imagination. No, sir. I'm going to tell you something else. The Mormons don't believe that. And buddy, when you get right down to it, the Catholics don't believe that. They'd rather worship Mary than they would God. Mary, the mother of God. The God out there does not know mother, but Jesus had an earthly mother. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, how can that be? I'm telling you, it blows my mind. How that God that had no mother wrapped himself in a robe of flesh, conceived himself in the belly of a woman, and was born of a woman to die for man. That blows my mind. That staggers me. That staggers my mind. You better believe it does. Now, I use caution right here. But for the Son of God to humble himself and to come down to this earth was really not that difficult. Because we see him in Old Testament Scripture as Christ, the eternal God. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how can I don't know. But I'm telling you that Christ of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. Jehovah the Old is Jesus of the New. And we find him in theophanies and appearances and visions, all in the Old Testament. That's why Paul said in chapter 1:1, in times past in divers manners. That means in many different ways. God spoke to us through the fathers, through the prophets. But he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Now, I'm telling you, it wasn't a very difficult thing for God to come down from heaven to earth. But I'm going to tell you where the difficulty came back in. Was getting back. There's where the humility come in, church. It wasn't coming down, it was going back. Somebody said, well, all it had to do was to go back. Oh, no. It was ordained before the foundation of the world that he must die. And he could not ascend back to heaven until he had first ascended up to the cross and become a curse for the self-sins of men. Hey, that's the only way that he could go back to heaven was to die the death of the cross. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's a humbling thing right there. when he that knew no sin was made to be sin.
Yes.
My goodness, the skies turned dark.
Yes.
The rocks cried out and was rent in twain.
Yes.
The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom.
Yes, sir.
Those Roman soldiers that stood by, that pierced him in the side, when he cried such a loud voice and gave up the ghost and cried, "Father, lay not this, sir. Forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm telling you, that Roman soldier said undoubtedly, without a doubt, no doubt about it, that man was the very Son of God. I'm telling you, that's where the hard part came in. It's when Christ had to yield himself and die on the cross that you and I might go through. Somebody said, "What did he become?" Everything that sin is what he became.
Yes.
Now you stop and meditate on that. Why? For sodomites.
Yes.
Drunks.
That's right.
Prostitutes.
That's right.
Whoremongers. Cussers.
Yes.
Thieves. Murderers.
Yes.
Rapists. Unbelief. Rebellion.
Yes.
Witchcraft. All that mess. Whatever sin is what he was made to be on the cross when he died. That's the hard part. That ought to humble you. That ought to humble every sinner. Buddy in the country. Amen. I know it should. But I'll tell you, the hard part was to return to heaven. It was necessary for him to suffer and to die a death as a curse. For it is written, "Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree." Are you hearing what I'm saying? He became a curse. Do you know how strong a language that is, church? Do you know what a cursed thing is? A curse is something that is totally cut off from God. Cut off from God. No wonder when he died, he bowed his head in the locks of his shoulders and cried, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I'll tell you why. God, for that moment of time, cut him off. He cut him off and was separated, that you and I may never have to be separated from God. Amen. You get a hold of that? Buddy, I hope so. God, he was cut off from God. My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? I'm going to tell you, somebody said, what was that blackness that covered the face of the earth? I'm going to tell you what it was. When God came down, that blackness separated between him and the sun. That's exactly what it was. It was a barrier between a holy God and sinful man. Amen. Hallelujah to God. I'm about to get carried away in my own soul when I realize all the suffering and the separation and the sin that he became, that an old sinner might not just be saved, but when the veil of the temple was rent in twain, he said, "You can now come into the presence of God." You don't know, Jesus died and carried his blood back to the mercy seat, that a saint, an Old Testament saint, could not even come into the presence of God. That's why they were in paradise. Somebody said, "Well, how'd they get out of there?" He that before he ascended, what is it but that he first descended into the lowest parts of the earth? What did he do when he got there, Preacher Hall? He led captivity captive. Now, you get a hold of that. Well, hey, we've always preached that he led all the Old Testament saints out of there. Much deeper than that. Paul said in Ephesians that he led captivity captive. Now, if I can kind of break that down, I don't know why I'm preaching all this. I ain't got it in my notes. But if I can break that down into vernacular, in something we can understand, and I don't know how to explain it no other way but this. Say, if we took the Hopkins County Jail, ain't that captivity? Huh? That's captivity, isn't it? You don't believe me, go up there and get a ride on that elevator underneath that walkway going into the courthouse. Ride up and get off. You'll find out how much captivity it is, buddy. You ain't getting out of there unless the man turns the key and puts you on the elevator and brings you out. That's captivity. But he led
captivity captive. If you please, it'd be just like taking the Hopkins County Jail and putting it in jail.
Yes.
I can see that didn't get a hold. That hit. That got bends. I don't think any of the rest of you got it. I'm going to say it again. It'd be like putting the Hopkins County Jail in jail. That thing, that thing which had held the saints of God in captivity, which is death, he led it captivity and put it behind bars and padlocked hell and death behind bars that you and I might go free. Hallelujah to God. That's right. That's what captivity is, hell and death. And he put them behind bars. He put them in. And by the way, somebody said they might get out. Oh no, he's got the keys around his girdle. He's got a big padlock too. You better believe it. Ain't that wonderful for you and I to know? Now stay with me now. But why refer to Jesus as being better than the angels? Why in heaven's name would Paul or would God want you and I today to realize that Jesus is better than the angels? Why, Brother Hall, we know that. Oh, but I'm telling you, when the book of Hebrews was written, a little different story. Let me give you three reasons, and we'll get into the message, and we'll be quit and go to the house. Number one, in order to establish Christ in His humanity as being superior to all other created beings. Although He was not a created being, He was born of a woman. And God, through Paul, wanted to prove the fact that Jesus Christ was preeminent over all created beings. All of them. I mean, hey, none of them. Some, they all subject to Him. God gave Him a throne. He didn't give the angels a throne.
Amen.
Amen. God subdued all of His enemies under His feet, every one of them. That's right. Here, listen to me now. To establish that He's better. That's why old Billy Kelly, somebody said to old Billy Kelly once, said, Brother Billy, said, isn't Jesus good? And Billy said, no, sir. They said, Brother Billy, you went crazy. He said, Jesus is good. He said, no. He said, He is good. And Billy said, He's not. God said He is. Billy said, He's not. God said, if He's not, tell me what He is. He said, He's better than that.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Have we got any English scholars in here? We got any words in the superlative degree that we can use? Anybody got any? What is it? What is a word in the English word that's, huh? Can one of you ladies help me? Huh? Best. I'm talking about something that is best. The best of the best. Hallelujah, that'll work! He's better than the best of the best! He's better than the prophets! He's better than the angels! He's better than Moses! He's better than Joshua! He's better than the prophets! He's better than all of them. He's the best of the best of the best of the best. He is the very best. If you can get better than the best, that's what He is. He outshines them all. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Now get this now. But why show these Jewish believers? You remember the theme of the book? Is that Paul here is writing this book to show the Hebrews that Christianity is superior to Judaism. That's the theme of the book. These people are coming out of the Old Testament economy, out of Judaism. They're coming out of the temple worship. They're now worshiping a God that's not made with man. They're not now worshiping in spirit and in truth. You understand what I'm saying? They're not sacrificing animals anymore. They're not going to the temple of the altar. He's already died on the altar. They don't offer lambs. The Lamb has come. They don't worship in the labor anymore. He is the labor.
Yes.
They don't have to go through the door of the tabernacle. He is the door.
Yes.
He's the candlestick and the table of showbread. He's the veil. He's all of it. Every bit of it. He's all of it. And Paul is trying to get these people to realize what we've got is better than what they have. And because Christ is Christianity, He has magnified Him in His humanity as being better than the best, all of them, including the angels.
including the angels.
Yes.
Now, you got to remember that Paul is demonstrating the immeasurable superiority of Christianity over Judaism and the old economy. Listen now, and I don't understand this. I can't explain it. But the old economy was given by the disposition of angels. Now, I don't understand. Somebody said, Brother Hall, can you prove that? Galatians 3:19, Acts 7:53. Now, I can't explain that. But it was given by the disposition of angels. That's how it was received. Then number three, and this will tie you, because the Jews regarded them as the most exalted of all of God's creatures. You can find that in Psalm 103:2, 104:4, Matthew 25:21, 28:23. That the Jews really believed that the angels, I mean, son, when an angel, I mean, you know, when God spoke when Jesus was at Solomon's temple, and they said, oh, it thundered, and somebody said, oh, no, an angel spoke. You remember what they said about Paul when he was testifying about the grace of God? They said, if God or an angel has spoken to Paul, then let her be so. But if they counted the angels as exalted beings, by the way, and they were, God used the angels time and time again. Who did He use when poor Daniel was praying for 21 days? Angels! Who was it that came to Abraham's tent door? Three angels! Who was it that appeared to the parents of Samson? An angel! I'm telling you, God used angels, and the Jews were hung up on angels, but Paul said, hey, a better one than the angels is here. Better than the angels. It's here. Now, you got to remember that in His human nature, if you'll remember this now, get a hold of this, that in His human nature, God has enthroned Him high above all. That is to say, everybody get this now and don't miss it. There is now, church, there is now a man in glory. Somebody said, oh, no. Oh, yes! That's why we fail. Amen. There is a perfect, sinless man exalted at the right hand of God. In His human nature is seated at the right hand of God. There is a perfect human being in glory tonight. His name's Jesus. His name's Jesus. Now, I've got five things and we'll go to hell. All right. I've come to the message and we'll go to the house. Somebody said, Brother Hall, where is it better than the angels? I'm glad you asked. And we'll go to the house. Look in verse number 4 of your text. You ought to keep your Bibles open. You need to mark something, mark it. Look in verse number 4. He said, but being made so much, there it is, better than the angels. He hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. May I say that He is better than the angels, and for alliteration's sake, I put it this way, He's better than the angels in His reputation. I might say He's better than the angels in His name. That's what the book says. His name. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what about His name? Hey, just a couple of the angels now. Michael, for instance. Michael's name is who is like God. But I'm telling you, Jesus is not who is like God. He is God. What about Gabriel? Gabriel stands for man of God. But Jesus is not a man of God. He is very God. Oh yes, He's given Him a name that is better than all of the angels. You better believe it. Jesus. Emmanuel. May I say that that word means God with us. Hallelujah to God. None of the angels could declare that while in that presence, we are in the presence of God. But I'm telling you, in the presence of Jesus is being right in the presence of God Almighty Himself. God with us. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, what about that name Jesus? Well, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Jesus, Savior, Master. I wish I knew that song better than I do.
Doesn't that name just do something to you? Jesus. Five little letters. I don't believe we'd do any harm if we said, Grace! Somebody said, well, if you get on grace too much, you'll be a hyper-Calvinist. Grace, 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 grace! For the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came to Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Grace! Five letters in grace, five letters in Jesus. How in God's name can you separate salvation from grace? How can you separate salvation from Jesus? Grace! Calvary manifest! Yes, Calvary manifest! Grace manifest! That's Calvary in the person of the Lord Jesus. No wonder He's better. Now, somebody said, what about that name, Jesus? Did you know that Jesus in the New Testament is the same word for Joshua in the Old Testament? That's why in the book of Hebrews, it talks about of Joshua, could He give the people rest. That's right. Jesus and Joshua. You know what the word means? Deliverer. That's why it's a better name than the angels. They're not an angel living. Oh, no, sir. That could do for you and me what Jesus done for us. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. Why do that, brother Matthew? I'm going to tell you why. For He shall save His people from their sins. Son, He never saved anybody in their sin. He saved them from their sins and brought them out of their sins. Somebody said, can a saved man hormone? Not long. Can a saved man drink? Not long. Can a saved man go to the theaters? And not very long. Can he cuss, chew, smoke, rat, rave, take, go? Not very long. Bring Jeff. He brought me out. Then He brought me in. By His grace, He sent me back out. And He's coming today when He's going to call me back up. Glory to God. That's why He's better now. Boy, if I could tell you some stories. Brother Nolan told the people over there at the church, when I was over there this time, he said, I remember Brother Gary before he was right with God. And said, I'm not going to tell you about it. He said, it ain't none of your business. I'm going to tell you what he done one day, and I'm not going to tell you what I was doing. You can guess. I was sitting in a churchyard where he pastored, not where he's at now, before he got there. He walked up in that churchyard and looked down, and he was a young man then. He looked down over them glasses. He said, boy, do you see that street? I said, yes, sir. He said, get on it. I said, aye, Captain. I'm glad Jesus saved from sin. Oh, I'm glad Jesus. No wonder God gave him a name. There's no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. That's right. He's deliverer. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm telling you, we're not saved at the name of Gary or Wayne or Jerry or Ben. Oh, no. Josh or... or Bingham, amen, or Doug, or Steve, amen. No, sir. It's Jesus, friend. Yes, thank God for that hallowed name, that sacred name, that wonderful name. Amen, the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and you know the name above every name, and it's Jesus. Hallelujah, God. That other name. Now, wouldn't it be something if I run uptown, the sinner looked at me and said, brother, said, just tell me, preacher, how can I be saved? And I said, repent and be baptized in the name of Gary. That wouldn't get very far. But I'm going to tell you just something about the name Jesus.
Yes.
When that word Jesus comes off of the lips of a man and sets upon the throne of a sinner's heart, the Holy Ghost says, and just drives it down. Just,
yes.
Amen. Just like driving a nail down.
Yes.
Son, I'm going to tell you, when you get Jesus way down in your heart.
Yes.
They said, Brother Homer Sandlin's wife died in the hospital with cancer, and she just got saved, I don't know, about 3 or 4 years ago. Been a church member all her life and got saved about 3 or 4 years ago. Said about 2 days before she went out to meet God, said she had the hospital nurses so piled up, said they hear her plumb up and down the hall, said she's laying there on her bed singing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. You know why? I've got the Jesus, 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 Jesus down in my heart. He's there! Down in my heart. Oh, down in my heart. I've got Jesus, 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 Jesus down in my heart. Somebody said, preacher, you're trying to pump up. No, I'm just the preacher. What God put on paper. I'm a preaching truth. I get this. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. Highly. Now, if he just said God exalted him, it'd be one thing. But God highly exalted him. That means he's the best of the best. Highly exalted him. Given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And of things in heaven and things in earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know why? Because he took upon himself no reputation. But I'm telling you, mankind's made him a reputation. That's why I say he's better than his reputation.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. You can go just about anywhere in the world and say Jesus, and they'll say, I've heard that name.
Right. Yes, sir.
I've heard that name. He's got a reputation. He didn't set out to get one, but he's got it because he's got a name. That's right. Now that name makes him better than his purpose. He come to save his people from their sins. That's his purpose. And that name will do it. He's better than his power. When he had by himself purged our sins. What power? There is power in the name of Jesus. To flat make you perfect. Somebody said, preacher, can there... Oh, yes. How can it be that a crooked stick can draw a straight line? I don't know, but I'm telling you it's a fact.
Yes! Yes!
Yes! Woo! I'm a-going to Mount Zion.
Yes.
But I said, what about that place? It is the place of the spirits of just men made perfect.
Amen.
Woo! Ain't no angel ever made me perfect. But he by that name has purged our sins. That means to make perfect, by the way. And then what a position. After he purged our sins, he is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I don't know anybody else, sir. What a name. What a name. And then look at verse number 6 in our text. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him.
Yes.
We don't worship men and we don't worship angels, but we do worship him.
Yes.
Now I want to say, his name ought to be praised.
Yes.
Church, we're pitiful.
Yes.
We're the most pitiful Baptists,
yes,
this generation of Baptists I've ever seen in my life. Got more to be thankful for. I'm about ready to throw this water now. I don't know which direction it's going in either.
Yeah.
It ought to be praise, shouldn't it, Jerome?
Yes.
Let me ask you something. If the angels of God, who have never known redemption, fall down and worship Him, how much more should you and I that went down the tube to rock bottom as low in sin as a man could go, but yet He came down there where we were and brought us out? How much more should we praise His wonderful name? Praise Him! Praise Him! Tell of His excellent greatness! Praise Him! Praise Him! Ever in joyful song! He's worthy, buddy. He's worthy. Now I'm trying to hurry. Now I want to say not only is He better in His name, but He's better than the angels in His relationship. Somebody said, "Preacher, what on earth do you mean? Just follow in her text. Verse number 5, for unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, he will be to me a son. Verse 6, and again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Let me just jump to verse 8. But unto the son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. I want to say it's better in his relationship. Because none of the angels could be a son. Hey, look here. How do you get sonship? Got to be a birth. Now, don't nobody leave me right here. I'm fixing to show you something. You look the Old Testament high and low, but you'll never find God called Father in the Old Testament. You know why? The only way a man can ever be a father is to first have a son.
Yeah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? And sonship comes by birth. God had to have a son that He might bring many sons into the same relationship with the Father that the begotten Son of God had. Now, if you can get a hold of that, it'll help you. Nothing said about sonship in the Old Testament for God. Nothing about Him ever being a father. They called Abraham, the Jews called Abraham, our father. But boy, when Jesus got here, He immediately began to identify Himself as the Son and God as the Father. That's because God had had a Son. Now, look here. Somebody said, now why? And I'm going to try to hurry on this. Somebody said, Brother Hall, why did he have to be a son? That he might bring many sons into relationship with God. Jump right over on your page to Hebrews 2. Read verse number 9 with me as I read it. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Made a little lower than the angels. Still talking about the angels. Everybody look up. My goodness! He that was better than the angels was made lower than the angels. My goodness, I just saw that. But He was crowned with glory and honor. That He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. There's the honor. My, what honor. It was an honor for Him to taste death for every man. Now notice this. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. And here's the thought. In bringing many sons into glory. I'm going to tell you what, church. You and I could never have been made a son of God until the only begotten was made a son of God.
Amen.
And it's going to go over y'all's head. But on down, in the same chapter, he talks about the fact he's not ashamed to be called our brother.
Amen.
If you can get a hold of that. The Creator become the crucified. God become the Son, that you and I might become sons, that not only the son of sons of God, but we might be made his brother.
Yes.
I don't want to sound too irreverent, but that makes me a brother to God.
Yes.
Join heirs.
Amen.
God help us. Relationship better than the angels. May I say that he's better than the angels in his righteousness.
Yes.
Look at verse number 8. But under the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is a scepter of righteousness.
Yes.
It's forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. May I say that the Son is righteous. More righteous than the angels. But not only, and you know that, so I'm just going to go on that. But not only the Son, but he's got a scepter. When Esther was called to go in and plead with him for the souls of the Jews, I mean, old Haman was going to kill them all. And Mordecai, I said, you need to go in. She said, I cannot go in unless the king calls me. And Mordecai, I said, if you don't go in, every Jew in this nation is going to die from Haman if you don't go in. And Esther said, if I perish, then I perish. She knew that if she barged into the presence of the king, she'd die. And I'm going to tell you something. If a sinner tries to barge into the presence of God, that's easy to believe, isn't proud.
That's right.
And you get dying for it. But when Esther stood out in the outer court and King Ahasuerus was in his chamber, that's just like the Son standing out in the outer court and God behind the veil. That's when the veil was rent in twain. Now get me now. And he held out that golden scepter. And Esther come right on in to King Ahasuerus. And God the Father held out that golden scepter and the Son walked on in. And somebody said, Brother Hall, what on earth? Yeah, the scepter of his kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. If you please, that golden scepter represented an invitation. You hear me well. Brother, that is an invitation to righteousness. God will not receive somebody that's going to continue to live in sin. He said, I'll give you an invitation to be made righteous, but if you don't want righteousness, I will not have you in my kingdom. You're not going to have sin, church, and hold on to sin with one hand, God with the other. In other words, what I'm saying is that the gospel call is an invitation to righteousness. It's an invitation to set you free from sin and to make you righteous in the eyes of God. You can't hold on to your dope and be saved. You can't hold on to your liquor and be saved. You can't hold on to your wild life and party life and women and all that and be saved unless you're married now. You know what I'm saying? And I've got news for you. His kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. That means that his subjects are righteous.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, I read this scripture so many times, but I want to read it to you tonight because it's so true in the Word of God. And it won't take me but a second here to find it. If you'll just hang on, I'll read it for you. Out of the Word of God. I said I would. I believe I can. Well, I don't know whether I can or not. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Amen.
There are no unrighteous people. Know ye not? John said, he that worketh righteous is righteous.
Amen.
Even as God is righteous.
Right.
That's right. So his subjects are. I'm telling you, God doesn't have any renegades in his kingdom.
Amen.
No rebels in his kingdom. When he extended that scepter to you, that invitation for you to come to Jesus, he was giving you an invitation to come to righteous and to be made righteous.
Amen.
And if a man is not willing to turn from his stinking, wicked sin and be made right with God, he ain't going to get in by no stretch of the imagination. Then I want to say this. He's better than the angels and he's rejoicing. Somebody said, Brother Hall, where do you get that? I'm glad you asked. Look in verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. You know what that word gladness means? That word gladness there means exceedingly joyful. Exceedingly joyful. You see, the angels, church, the angels they could never redeem you and I. Jesus despised the cross and the shame.
despised the shame of the cross. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Now, there's his joy that lay out in front of him. Somebody said, well, if I can't have my cake and ice cream right now, I don't want neither one. You won't have them both now.
Amen.
And he's rejoicing. Then I've got to turn from alliteration to give you this. And I'll close with this. Look in verse number 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. He's better than the angels in his triumphs. He's conquered everything. You see, the angels couldn't do that, church. They couldn't conquer death. They couldn't conquer hell. They couldn't conquer the grave. In fact, some of the angels, when Satan offered them the opportunity to revolt against God, he led them in revolution against God, and they lost their exalted place in heaven. That's right. You hear me well. Up until that point, it was possible for an angel to sin. Oh, yes, sir. They could not conquer our enemies. But when Jesus died on the cross, he conquered our death, hell, and grave.
Yeah.
He's better than the angels. He outshines them all. Prophets and angels, he outshines them all. I trust it's helped you a little bit, encourage your heart tonight. Let's stand together.